You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. And we've had quite a week. I'm on our guest part two today. You probably heard him last week, Patrick Wooden, who is the pastor, Dr. Patrick Wooden, who's the pastor at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pastor, you on the line?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Peter?
Good. Well, we are recording this, folks, on Thursday the 19th. It will air on the 21st over in Chicago, and then we'll have it on the website. But I just saw Pastor Wooden, my good friend Patrick, out in we went to Montgomery, Alabama. We had a very successful press conference calling attention to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has become a very left-wing organization. And we called attention to their mislabeling, their smearing of Christians, including our group, Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, as hate groups. Patrick, that was a wonderful event, and you did a wonderful job in your speech. Talk about the event.
I thought the event, Peter, was fantastic, and I was grateful to be a part of it, although the press release that the Southern Poverty Law Center, one of their writers, sent out made me and the other African-American ministers sound like a group of mind-numbed robots who following some white guys, you know.
Let me read that, Patrick. Let me read that, Patrick, because this is outrageous. Okay,
right.
This is the release that was put out by Mark Potok. I think he's the executive director. I can't remember his exact title with the Southern Poverty Law Center. He put this out in advance. They had found out. We didn't want to give them a lot of notice, obviously, about our event, so they found out about it, and he put out this release in advance. Now, let me just read it. This the headline is, Anti-Gay Haters Plan press conference today at SPLC, and SPLC based in Montgomery, Alabama. We were right outside the building.
Right.
Here's the. I'm just going to read the first paragraph, and let's talk about this. What is effectively their racist comments? Today at noon, a group of the nastiest gay bashers in America plans to hold a press conference in front of the Montgomery, Alabama offices of the Southern Poverty Law Center,
right,
which publishes this blog, claiming that the SPLC is engaged in a, quote, campaign to demonize adherents of traditional Judeo-Christian morality, unquote. Now, here's the key part coming up, folks. This is Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center. The release says, the, quote, the white organizers of the press conference are bringing along a set of black pastors in a presumed bid to embarrass the SPLC, a 40-year-old anti-racist civil rights organization. So, Patrick, you know, I just went to the website and I ordered me up a set of Negroes.
Right. I ordered up a set of silly, dumb black men. And it's amazing that this is, I think that the writer showed his bias in describing us that way. And also, I would love to know the meaning of the word basher now. I mean, are we bashers because we simply tell the truth about homosexuality and lesbianism? Are we bashers because we disagree with the homosexual and lesbian death style? Are we bashers? Is that the new definition? Is the new definition of bashers to believe that marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman, just as the Bible describes? Have we become bashers? I know that I've never physically accosted any homosexual. My position has always been, if I saw two people fighting a person because he was homosexual, I would come to the rescue of the homosexual and do everything that I could to stop the fight. I know this, Peter, as they marched yesterday in here in the city of Raleigh, those who are against the marriage amendment our church received calls where we were, as my executive assistant and our receptionist answered the phone, people were calling, and they were calling them effing this and effing that, and profanity-laced messages were left. I wonder who's being bashed. I think we're the ones who are being bashed here.
Yeah, and you know, Patrick, you are now coming under intense vitriol and scrutiny of the homosexual side. Now, again, you know, let's get to some facts here. First of all, this press conference was a joint project of you and me, Patrick, and you did more work than I did. We didn't bring you along. This was you guys brought the people. The idea, and here's the word again, that the white organizers, this is the Southern Poverty Law Center, this is the group that lectures everybody about hate and intolerance and racism. The white organizers, I suppose that would be me, of the press conference are bringing along a set of black pastors. Now, these pastors, let's back up here and give some background, Patrick. These pastors, we had a number of African-American pastors from all over the country. We had people who weren't pastors. We had Rochelle, and I put her name wrong on the release. It's not Rachel Connor, it's Rochelle. She came from California. You came from North Carolina. We had people from, what, Delaware? We had from right. Montgomery itself. These are pastors who care deeply about the biblical truth about homosexual practice, and they do not want to see people, whatever their color, being demonized and smeared as haters, right, merely because we agree with God and the Bible, the revealed Word of God, that homosexual practice is sinful.
Yes, again, we are in America. Debate, disagreement, discourse is a part of the American experience. And it has been down through the years, I guess, except when it comes to this issue of homosexuality. I guess we're all supposed to march to their drummer, agree with them, or risk or incur the wrath of this movement. And I personally think that it's a horrible thing that has taken place. You're labeled. And I really believe, Peter, the purpose of the labeling is that when they cannot win the argument on facts, then they attack the person who wages the argument. Even as I am being maligned for some of some of the things I said the other day about incognizance and men in diapers. Let me tell you.
Let's talk about, well, before we go into that, let me give more some background, folks. Now,
here's, all right,
this is the other development. We had Patrick on, and I knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You talked about, I want you to give, we got 4 minutes to the break, and I don't know if you can hear our 30-second outro, so when it comes time, I'll let you know we got 30 seconds.
Okay.
But basically, what you said, you relayed the story of the fecal incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you lose control of your bowels.
Right.
That can be part of the practice that resulting,
right,
obviously from anal sex. Now,
right,
you off the air, we talked about the background of how you came to actually know that. Give that background as it relates to what you had said, because the homosexuals are saying, "Oh, Patrick Wooden said that gay men are going to all." They're making it sound like you are saying that all gay men are going to have to wear diapers when they're older. That's not what you said. You're talking about the dangers of anal sodomy.
Yeah, what I was saying, and by the way, I do not back off or back down from my statements at all. I was giving anecdotal examples that I am personally aware of that have happened as a result of men who have given themselves over to this lifestyle. One man passed away. A friend of mine shared this information with me that whereas what used to be his anus had become a gaping hole, and where there was he literally died in diapers. He literally lost control of himself. There are examples of men who had stretched their anuses, their sphincter muscles, so that they could fit objects into themselves, that once the sphincter muscle is stretched too much, it will not contract, because the truth is, despite the anger of the homosexual community, the anus is not a vagina. A vagina, a woman can give birth. God so designed it. The hips release. can give birth to babies and things return back to normal. The anus doesn't work that way. This is one of the reasons why many male homosexuals place larger and larger objects in their rectums. I know of a case where in a hospital a homosexual male had a cell phone large in his anus, and as they were operating on him, man, the phone went off. The phone started ringing. And there have been instances where men have put baseball bats in their rectums. So that people would get angry about this truth. The homosexual males practice a horrible practice called fisting. Now, you know, to be able to get a man's fist in another man's rectum and push the fist inside the rectum up to the forearm. Now, by the way, who in their right mind would want to experience something like that? Whether you are the man with the fist putting your fist in another man's rectum, or the man allowing someone's fist and forearm to be shoved into their rectum. And this is from the book As We Sodomize America, written by Dr. O.R. Adams Jr. You know that it is abnormal use. It is abuse of this part of the human body, this part of the human anatomy, the digestive system, to stretch one's anus to the point that it can receive a male's fist up to the forearm. Now, that people would be upset and try to discredit what we're saying. My position is, say what you want. Say what you will or may.
Here's what one said, Patrick.
Sure.
We got a break coming up. I'll just read the headline. The headline from Right Wing Watch, which is a publication of People for the American Way, a left-wing organization. The headline is, North Carolina's anti-marriage leader, which I suppose is you, Patrick.
Well, at least I'm a leader.
You're a leader. You have an anal obsession. That's the headline. So I didn't know that about you, Patrick, but we're talking to Patrick Wooden, who's the pastor at the Upper Room Church of God and Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Americans for Truth Hour, folks. The show airs at 11 o'clock at night, but this particular episode is not appropriate for young children, although I hasten to add that schools today are not teaching the truth about these risks of homosexuality. You do not see the risks of anal sex, anal sodomy, being taught. And we know that some of the practices you're describing, Patrick, I mean, let's face it, fisting is a homosexual male phenomenon. Now, it may have spread to some heterosexual perverts, but it is essentially a homosexual thing. And remember, Patrick, I'm not sure if you know about this. You probably do. Remember the Fistgate scandal, folks. Now, there are going to be a lot of gay activists now say, oh, now Dr. Wooden is talking about fisting. Oh, he's saying that all gay men engage in fisting. No, we're not saying that.
No.
But what is important to know is that this is one of the perversions associated with male homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And a number of years ago in Boston, there was an actual educational conference, so-called, sponsored in part by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, which is a homosexual activist group that reaches out and promotes homosexuality in schools. And there were also teachers at this conference, and they actually taught. One of the instructors gave a verbal lesson in fisting.
Right.
He read a sheet of paper, and it said, "What's fisting?" And he proceeded to explain how one engages in fisting, you know, by putting your hand a certain way. So, you know, if it had been a conservative group that had sponsored a conference in which such a heinous perversion was taught to young teenagers, that person would be banned. He would never. That group would be out of business. But of course, GLSEN today is a multimillion-dollar homosexual activist organization.
Right.
But let's go back here, Patrick. I've got the homosexuals are in their mind, they've scored a major victory here because Patrick Wooden, who is an articulate black leader, they want to take him down. In fact, Patrick, I got so much to tell you here since you were on our show. And folks, the After Radio show is monitored carefully by homosexual activists, so we must be doing something right. Here's a note from, this is interesting, Pastor. Here's a note from Bob Schwartz of the Gay Liberation Network.
Right.
He says, He has asked the Southern Poverty Law Center to be more inclusive of African Americans in their listing of anti-gay bigots. He says to me, he wrote this, he sent me an email. He said, your new pal, Pat Wooden, I guess he's on a first name basis with you now, Pat. He's calling you Pat. Your new pal, Pat Wooden, has infamously charged that gay men, quote, need to, quote, wear diapers and butt plugs, unquote, due to anal canal damage. And he says, that's hate group language, and I think Wooden ought to be so designated. Signed, Bob Schwartz. So he is lobbying now to get you on the hate list, Patrick, and he already lobbied them to get us on the hate list.
Well, if they get me on the hate list, at the end of the day, I don't care, Peter. Again, according to As We Sodomize America, according to Dr. Adams, fisting involves 47% of homosexuals. There's all kinds of things. There's fisting, there is rimming, there is all kinds of acts that is unique to this particular that many homosexuals participate in, urinating on each other, that kind of a thing, the ingestion of feces and that kind of a thing. I don't know why. I don't understand the outrage when the truth is those who are outraged at me, they're not outraged because many do not participate in these acts. They're outraged because I mentioned it.
Yes.
Was I saying that all homosexual males would end up in diapers? No, I personally don't want any grown person to end up in diapers. And probably, Peter, if we all live long enough, we all may. But the question is the practice of anal sex, and they say I have a anal obsession. Well, if we were talking about Jesus Christ, or if we were talking about football, you know, I can talk about the presidential elections. I guess I have an obsession about any subject that I happen to be talking about at the time. When you called me on the radio, this is the particular subject. So I guess I have an obsession now, according to these people. But the truth is, it is no longer in America a sin to participate in homosexuality, to participate in these heinous acts, to do these things. It's a sin to talk about them.
Yeah.
And you come under the raft of these people if you talk about them. It's almost like the public school system in many schools or in most schools. You can't use the heinous, ungodly, un-American phrase Jesus Christ, unless you're swearing. Now, if you try to witness and talk about Christ in many of the public school systems, they cry separation of church and state. But if you get upset and bang your finger in the door and you swear by saying Jesus Christ and take the Lord's name in vain, then that's perfectly acceptable. Well, if a person is a practicing homosexual and he's pro-homosexuality and the individual stands before a class of school students and teach fisting, that's perfectly acceptable. But if an individual is not homosexual and a gospel preacher, or doesn't have to be a preacher, just an individual who is not participating in that and who doesn't agree with it, say the same thing about fisting, then he's maligned.
Well, and Patrick,
now you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, and you know what? Harkening back, I remember to that Glisten scandal, the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, which sponsored that Fistgate, where fisting was explained to students in a positive manner, mm-hmm. almost in a sexualized manner. The Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network never issued a sincere, sorrowful apology
right.
for that. In
right.
fact, if you look back at the history of that incident, what happened was a parent, an adult, had secretly tape recorded this session. We knew something radical was going on, so he went undercover. He issued a tape recording. And Patrick, guess what they did? The gay activist complained about the parent. about the adult for violating the so-called privacy of the students. So you're absolutely right. There was not even an apology back at in Fistgate in Boston for the public school, publicly paid teachers and homosexual activists teaching this heinous practice. But I want to get to something here, Patrick, because this is very important. We're going to be talking about health risks. We have a lot to talk about. We may have to go four interviews with Patrick Wooden.
Hey, before we go there, could I just read a quote to you right quick?
Sure.
Quickly. It says, quote, in 1983, well over a third of homosexuals admitted to participating in fisting, quote, inserting the hand and the arm, sometimes up to the armpit into the rectum of sex partners. The rectum was not designed to accommodate the hand and the arm. Thus, many who engage in this behavior find their sphincter muscles weaken to such a degree that they can't control themselves. Given the various gay misuse of the rectum, it is hardly surprising that the latest review of rectal cancer implicated homosexual practices in a large fraction of recorded cases.
Well, absolutely. You have anal cancer as a risk of, and I want to read something. This is not exactly an anti-gay source. A simple web search of fecal incontinence in Wikipedia. You know, that hardcore, the hardcore conservative source, Wikipedia. I'm joking, of course. Wikipedia has a left-wing bias.
It may be, it need to be added to the list. Go ahead.
they may be. We might have to add Wikipedia to the hate groups because they've published something here which has repercussions for homosexual men. Let me read. This is from their paper that they have on fecal incontinence. I quote, although anal sex resulting in repeated injury to the internal anal sphincter can lead to incontinence, the threat is relatively small. One study among 14 anal-receptive homosexual men. Now, this would be the bottom in the bottom in a male-to-male anal sex, which is horrific to think about. But we're talking about the bottom here. One study among 14 anal-receptive homosexual men and 10 non-anal-receptive heterosexual men showed that anal-receptive homosexual men have decreased anal canal resting pressure relative to non-anal-receptive heterosexual men and no associated fecal incontinence. In other words, the person on the receiving end of anal sodomy has what you basically said, less control of their bowels. This goes on. Another study among 40 anal-receptive homosexual men and 10 non-anal-receptive heterosexual men found a very significant increase in fecal incontinence, 14 or 35% amongst the anal-receptive men and 1 or 10% in the non-anal-receptive sample among this study. Right. So it's basically saying what you said. If you're receiving that behavior, that awful, that perversion, and anal sex is a terrible perversion, whether it's a man doing it to a woman or two guys doing it to each other, it's a perversion and it has medical consequences.
Right. And so, again, I don't understand the alarm, except that we told the truth. I'm not shouting from the rafters. I'm not attacking anyone personally. Those who are writing about me, I say right on. Say what you will or may. But we're telling the truth, and the general public needs to know. Part of the homosexual agenda is to get the camel's head into the tent. One of their promoters said to get the camel's head into the tent, and we will worry about dealing with its ugly derriere later. And that's what's happening. We've taken a word gay and wrapped a sinful, wicked lifestyle, which has nothing gay about the homosexuality. They wrapped it in gay, the word gay, because after all, what could be wrong with being gay?
25 seconds.
Part of a marketing campaign.
20 seconds, Patrick.
Yeah, and have put it out there to mislead the general public. We're just telling the other side of the story.
That's right. And Patrick, we're going to come back and look at some more of these facts associated. These are the facts that if you talk about them, I suppose in the eyes of the left, you are hateful. But it's not hateful to tell the truth. We're talking to Patrick Wooden, a good friend who spoke at our press conference. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back, folks, to the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization. We need your help. We need funding. We're taking on the homosexual activist movement, and anybody who does that, especially a single-issue organization like AFTA, comes under an incredible barrage of hate. And it's just some of it is just the most irrational. Yesterday on Twitter, Patrick, I was accused of wanting homosexual young men to kill themselves.
Wow.
I want them to. I mean, this terrible, terrible tragedy of people taking their own lives and people who are sexually confused, and they act as if we want that to happen. I mean, it is just absolutely satanic, the barrage of just unbelievable vitriol that you come under. Now, Patrick, you said something to me the other day, which I've been thinking about, which is one of the reasons that you believe we have been losing. I'm talking about the side of truth, and let's face it, currently the homosexual side has all the momentum. And you said one of the problems is that we really haven't talked about what homosexuality is.
Right.
Talk about that.
And that is true. We talk about it without talking about it. And this is part of the clever marketing campaign. Instead of talking about homosexuality itself, because even the homosexual lobby knows, those who are pro-homosexual, they know that they cannot win the argument describing what it is that these people actually do to each other, the objects, the animals in certain cases, the little gerbils. Thank God I'm a human being. The things that they do, because if you talk about what it is that these people actually do, they can't win the argument. So it is cloaked in things like benign phrases like homosexual rights or gay rights or
marriage equality.
Right to, you know, marriage equality or the right to love whomever you want, and everyone should have the right to marry. It's almost like the abortion issue. They argue the woman's right to choose. Well, notice they never finish the sentence. If they finish the sentence, they lose the argument. The woman's right to choose whether or not to kill the unborn baby. Now, if you finish the sentence, all of a sudden you lose the argument. With homosexuality, we need to talk about in proper terms, not through slang or trying to insult anyone. If we're going to talk about it, Peter, we should talk about it. If we're not, then we shouldn't. But I'm not going to debate anyone who refuses to talk about the issue.
Yeah.
Because if I do, then we're dancing around it. Yet we never actually say what it is, and the effectiveness has been greatly lessened because we're afraid to talk about it.
And you know what? It helps. Glamorize and the lifestyle, because nobody wants to talk about anal sex, of course.
No.
But when you actually think about it, it is a grotesque practice, and now it's horrifying to see it spreading into the heterosexual world. And by the way, Patrick, I read something the other day about the reason that is because of pornography. Men are watching pornography. They're seeing these slutty women engage in anal sodomy, anal sex from these men, and they think it's easy, and they start pushing it on their female spouses. So that's a terrible byproduct. But Patrick, you're saying talk about what it is, and we have to talk about the consequences. Now,
yes,
let me just read from a fact sheet. This is from our government. This is a September 10 paper called HIV and AIDS Among Gay and Bisexual Men.
Okay.
This is just stuff that nobody talks about, especially the media. While the CDC estimates that men who have sex with men account for just 4% of the U.S. male population age 13 and older, and I don't buy that estimate. I don't think it's as high as 4%.
Okay.
But they're saying, based on that 4%, the rate of new HIV diagnoses among MSM, that's men who have sex with men, in the U.S. is more than 44 times that of other men.
Right.
44 times.
44 times.
And that's based on their high estimate. If you take a lower number, it's even more.
Exactly.
I mean, are we in Alice in Wonderland here? Is this just some sort of thing where we don't know why, we can't explain why these men who have sex with men are 44 times have the risk of non-homosexual men?
Yeah, that's like saying we can't explain why the person who dines on, whose diet is that of just junk food and candy, cake, pie, we can't explain why they're obese, and we can't explain why people who do that tend to have diabetes. And I'm not attacking. I'm trying to make a point here, because I imagine those who were listening would say, well, now Dr. Wooden is attacking people who are overweight.
You don't hate people with diabetes, in other words.
No. The point is, the connection is there. And most of the time, when people get serious about their health and get serious about losing weight, the first thing they do is they get serious about what they put into their bodies. Because at the end of the day, to a large degree, we are what we eat. Now, if you study this group of people and you see the rate 44 times higher, then there is a connection. And I do not think that it is proper, that it is fair, that it is American, that it is even good for society to take those of us who speak the truth, who talk about these statistics. We didn't run the tests. We didn't write these books. We've studied. We're aware of this information. And the fact that we put the information out, isn't it amazing that we get maligned and bad things are written about us? And the people who are supposed to be the criers for tolerance, the people who say we should have tolerance and we should have mutual respect, are the most disrespectful and vile people of them all. But they have to be to defend this heinous death style. I love all people. I love homosexuals. I love heterosexuals. You can't do this and not love people. Love is what motivates us.
Absolutely. And it's telling
the
truth.
Motivation is love.
And let's get to an example that I read from at the press conference. You talk about the most radical activists. I mentioned Dan Savage.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about him last week, and he's got that website, santorum.com, in which
right.
he is intentionally trying to destroy a man's name. Imagine if I created patrickwooden.com and then said I'm redefining Wooden, Patrick, or let's take
right.
a better example. Let's say barbaraboxer.com. Let's take a liberal icon.
Yeah.
barbaraboxer.com, and guess what? We're going to redefine Barbara Boxer to mean the frothy mix of this grotesque mix, byproduct of anal sex. That's what this gay activist Dan Savage did
right.
to Rick Santorum, and he will not
right.
take that website. We've asked him to take the website down. He won't take it down. Now, that's bad enough. Listen to this, Patrick. This guy is still... I'm holding in my hand an advertisement for speakers at Elmhurst College, which I believe had religious origins, outside Chicago. And guess who's one of the speakers? Dan Savage.
Wow.
Now,
wow.
So apparently it doesn't matter how evil, how nasty, how utterly vile your activism is. If you are a homosexual activist,
right.
you go on. You just go on, and there's no repercussions.
Yes, you have carte blanche. You can say what you want. Now, as an African American male, young black men who have sex with men, the majority of new infections among black MSM occur among young black men who have sex with men between the ages of 13 and 29. In fact, more new infections occur among young black men who have sex with men than white men in the same age group. As a matter of fact, and from the age group of among white men, 13 to 29 and 30 to 39 combined. Now, this practice is destroying my African-American brethren. My word to those who criticize me is, am I to stand idly by and say nothing? Is that love? Am I to, is it loving for me to agree with this while I'm aware that, brothers are dying at an alarming rate? And I don't mean to make this a white or black issue, but am I to just stand idly by and let those who look like me fall into this trap? According to a recent article that was released, it says that in 2009, San Francisco Department of Health surveys among 1,142 homosexual men revealed that black homosexual men are the least preferred of sexual partners by other races because they are perceived to be riskier to have sex with, which can lead to men of other races avoiding black men as sexual partners because of this stereotype. Black gay men are also perceived as less welcome in the common social venues of homosexual men in San Francisco. So look at the racism within the community. Look at even amongst themselves. They are running from black homosexuals. So here I am, an African-American heterosexual who is saying what the white and Asian and other homosexuals are saying. I'm saying the same thing, and I get slaughtered for it when the truth is, even in the homosexual community itself, they're saying, you know what? No matter how much sex we want, we better not screw black guys because the black guys are at a higher risk of passing on sexually transmitted diseases.
And Patrick, well, why can't we just say no, whatever the color of the person? Why can't we say stop practicing this behavior? It's as if the CDC, and we got 50 seconds, Patrick, to the break. It's as if the CDC is in some kind of a fantasy world in which they claim they're fighting HIV/AIDS, but then at the same time, they decry, quote, homophobia. In other words, they are celebrating the very behavior that is the leading factor, one of the leading factors in the spread of AIDS. 30 seconds, Patrick.
And this is and the HIV, the fight of AIDS is the only fight that they fight. Through this method. Now, when we fight cigarettes, they say stop smoking. Obesity, stop eating. Other practices, stop doing it. But with HIV/AIDS, continue to practice homosexuality, and we'll find a way to get you well.
Yeah, we will pass out condoms at the bathhouses. How's that for a strategy, right? The bathhouses where men have indiscriminate sex with other men. We'll be right back after the break. I'm talking to Patrick Wooden. Talk to you in a minute. Welcome back to the final part of part two of our interview with Dr. Patrick Wooden, and we're going to go at least four parts with Patrick because we have a lot of things to explain. He is under attack, folks, because he dared talk about the consequences of anal sex. I can't remember. One of my activist friends, Patrick, said, I can't remember if it was Matt Barber or Bob Knight, said a lifetime of anal sex is not good for the body. And probably right. Matt Barber, who was one of our speakers at the event. But again, folks, if you're just tuning in, Patrick Wooden is the pastor at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, based in Raleigh, North Carolina. Their website is I'll give you two here, upperroomgospel.org or PL Wooden Exposed. That's PL Wooden, Wooden, exposed.org. Now, Patrick, I want to get back to the SPLCA here a second before we finish out. They're very slipshod with their facts. They put out in that release where they basically said that we went on the website and we got our cookie cutter blacks. You know, I'm surprised that Mark Potok didn't use the word Negroes. Right?
Yeah.
We went to the ordering shelf where we ordered our black stooges because blacks can't think for themselves, obviously, according to Mark Potok, it seems. But he says he attacks me, Patrick. He says that people Peter LaBarbera. He's trying to show that I'm a hater. He says, Peter LaBarbera claimed that there was a disproportionate incidence of pedophilia among gay men. We're going to get to that later. We know it's true. Why are there so many boy victims?
Right.
Why wouldn't there be 98-99% of the child victims of pedophiles if there were no connection with homosexuality? The incidence of boy victims versus girl victims, assuming that not many women are molesting boys, the incidence would be, you would find that 98-90% of the victims are girls. That's not the case. We see a huge number of boy victims. I challenge liberal activists, explain why there are so many boy victims. Okay, from there we go on. LaBarbera compared he says the alleged dangers of homosexuality to, quote, smoking, alcohol, and drug abuse. We're not going to retreat from that. There's high-risk behaviors that result in consequences, and that's what we're talking about here today. But here's a classic little – I just want to show you, Patrick, some of the ways that, you know, they distort facts. When I was at Illinois Family Institute, which I came in to work in 2006 I can't remember when I came, actually, but here's the quote. They're saying Peter LaBarbera demanded this was before I was with AFTA. I was the executive director of Illinois Family Institute. Mark Potok writes that I, quote, demanded the closing down of all, quote, homosexual establishments, unquote, and the repeal of sexual orientation laws. Now, they're right on the second part. I advocate the repeal of all homosexual laws because they end up repressing people of faith. We've seen that. But, right. Patrick, I didn't call for the closing down of all homosexual establishments.
Right.
What I did was I called for the closing down of gay bathhouses.
Right.
Now, homosexual bathhouses are these sex clubs that operate in major cities in which effectively it's anonymous sexual activity. You slap down $10, you get a locker, you walk around, and men sodomize each other, strangers they don't even know. It's essentially a breeding ground for disease. A lot of these men do not use condoms. So we advocate in the interest of public health and protecting not just the wider public, because you have, and you know about this, Patrick, African-American women are victimized by these bisexual men on the down low.
Yes. This
behavior is dangerous. And so we advocate closing down the gay bathhouses. And yet the SPLC makes it sound like we're asking every homosexual establishment to be closed down.
Right. Well, it amazes me that they assume the only homosexual establishment can be a bathhouse. Homosexuals are incredibly intelligent people. Many of them are great business persons, own restaurants, own businesses, Fortune 500 companies, CEOs. You know, it amazes me that when they actually malign themselves, you know, you call for the close of bathhouses, they interpret that as the close of all homosexual businesses and establishments.
Well, you know, and Patrick, these guys are really, they're sophomoric. I remember once they confused me with Paul Cameron, who is another pro-family advocate out in Colorado. It's on my website, folks. You can go to AmericansForTruth.org and find it. In their report, which was showing that I'm a hater, They confuse me with another guy. It's like, I guess all pro family people who oppose homosexuality are the same.
Right. But the issue is, the key, as far as I'm concerned, is simply it's that we're wrong because we oppose it. And we're evil, we're haters because we oppose it. But they're not haters because they oppose us. They're not haters because, you know, at their rallies, they demonstrate all kinds of lewd and wicked behavior. I think that if people really want to see what it's really all about, is go to some of their parades and stuff and see some of the signs and the acts that they would perform in public. And only homosexuals do stuff like that. Now, heterosexuals have parades all the time. You don't see people doing sex acts on floats or in the general public doing all kinds of heinous things to one another to make a statement.
And now you see children are being taken, and they're watching these parades. It's terrible.
Yeah. You wouldn't consider, the general public wouldn't consider behaving in that manner.
Now, Patrick, let me. We only got 3 minutes left, so I want to end on the conference. Tell me, you came, you organized. Thank you for all your work in getting our pastors out. We got some secular coverage, although I don't think it was even covered in the major newspaper. Who I thought there was a reporter there, but they might have spiked that. But Patrick, tell me the effect. What was the reaction? You were there with the pastors. What was the takeaway from that event?
for me, the takeaway was that we did the right thing for the right reason, and it was invigorating to stand for God's truth and to say what needed to be said and to be factual. A strange little incident that happened on the plane as we were flying back, a lady was sitting behind me, and right before the plane took off, she called someone and said, hey, some black preachers came into town today to protest against the law center, and we need to find out what that's all about. So after she got off the phone, I said, ma'am, I was one of those preachers. And we talked, and you know what she told me? She said, actually, what you did today, what you guys did, gave me hope. Because in the African-American community, she says, I just thought that everyone had caved on this issue and that no one was speaking against the homosexuality and same-sex marriage anymore. I just thought that everyone had caved.
Now, was this a black woman or a white woman?
A black woman.
Okay. And so she said that you gave her hope because you spoke the truth.
Yes. And where I live, where I pastor, you know, I thank the Lord for a good praying congregation, you know, and as these people write these evil things, what the persecution does is it causes the church to grow. We pull closer together because they know. And those homosexuals out there that I have met with personally, have worked with personally, have prayed for, they know that I'm not motivated by hatred. They know that you're not motivated by hatred. They know that we're not bigots. They know that we don't advocate killing anybody, destroying anybody. We don't want one person to die from any kind of sexually transmitted disease or anything like that. They know. Those who know us know that what motivates us is the love of God's truth and our love for Christ and our love for humanity, which includes those who are practicing the sin of homosexuality. It would be much easier, Peter, to just leave the issue alone and look the other way.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's what some people are doing, Patrick, and you're so right. And it was a privilege, and I think, you know, it does good. It's also good as believers when we see people of all different backgrounds, ethnicities, uniting for the truth. If you were maligned as a hater, I think that would be a travesty. I have, you know, this whole thing with this hate group, the SPLC, this is a tactic that they are doing to demonize people. We got 20 seconds, Patrick, then we got to go.
Well, if I get maligned as a hater, it won't be the first time. And if that happens, then the Lord will take care of me, and we will take whatever actions are appropriate. But I guess, though, the truth is, with the new definition of hate, I may actually be guilty.
Okay, well, let's end it there, Patrick.
Because disagree with homosexuality.
That's right.
That you hate.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much. We'll talk to Patrick next week for part three.
Thanks.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war, people who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.